Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, I got a riddle for you.
All right, I'm down.
Okay, what's purple? You spell it forwards and backwards. It says exactly the same thing. Yeah. It rhymes with orange, and it has teeth.
Forwards and backwards, purple, rhymes with orange, has teeth. I don't know.
I don't know either, but we can talk about the ideas of it.
All right. Got him.
That is a stupid joke.
Hey. It's very in our lane.
It is in our lane. Hey. And so is the Idea Summit.
Very true. For the whole ministry family. Happening January 30th through the February 1st of 2023 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
It's the very first Idea Network event that is a two-night, three-day event. And we're really excited about it. It's not just a day. It's not just a night. It's not just a summit. It is the next level. The zenith, the very pinnacle, the summit of summits. We call it the Idea Summit for the whole ministry family. Now, why for the ministry family, Drew?
Because we want everybody to come.
Yeah.
So we've had many idea days, nights, and summits in the past that really have been geared towards ministry leaders, pastors, and their wives, but hasn't really focused on the entire family.
Yeah, and this time we want you to not only know that your kids are welcome to come, but they're actually encouraged because paralleled right alongside of the adult conference for ministry leaders, there is a kids conference and a teen conference for each and every one of you. Yeah, they're going to have events, they're going to have parties, they're going to have great opportunities to hear from teachers in those fields, specifically talking to them about what it's like to be in the ministry. What is it like to be a PK? What is it like to have mom and dad in full-time ministry or bivocational ministry? And they're going to love this event.
Now, some highlights for the summit. Our keynote speakers is going to be Dr. Tony Evans. We have Alan Parr, who's popular YouTuber, speaker, preacher of the word. We have Brian Sams and yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be there as well.
You're going to be there as well.
And you.
I'll be there.
We're going to have a great time there in January 30th, 31st, and February 2nd. You can go up and sign up at ideanetwork.church/summit. Looking forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Welcome to episode 158 of the Idea Talks. Today we're talking about considering an assessment in your church planning efforts. So are you a church planner out there that is considering starting a church or planning a church here in the next couple of years? We have a lot of different church planners that have gone through a very specific process, the NAM assessments, and has worked out really beneficial for them as well as for the church that might be helping them. So let's talk about more a bit.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to having this conversation. I'm wondering if you're sitting there having the question about church planting, should you consider the SEND Network and the North American Mission Board process? Today, Drew and I are interviewing two members of the Idea Network who did just that. We get their unvarnished opinions of the process and the recommendations to the Idea Network church planters among us. We are so glad to have you here, my friend, Akeem Smith, and my longtime friend, because we're old men now, Aaron Carpenter. Aaron, introduce yourself to the audience. I know you were on an episode two episodes ago, but reintroduce yourself to the audience and tell the audience how we know each other.
So Aaron Carpenter here. I am pastoring Soundside Church in Tacoma, Washington. We planted about 6 years ago. Josh and I, we met. I remember meeting you the very first weekend of college at Pensacola Christian. And there was some like big sports center ado. I seem to remember a pool table involved. I don't know. But we were, met the very first week as freshmen. We were in the same collegium together for 2 years. I bailed to go start a new one. And then got to hang out throughout the years there at college.
Back in 1998. Crazy, man. That's a long time ago. And just about that same time, Akeem Smith was born. Akeem, tell us a little bit about yourself, your church plant. A lot of the network knows you. Tell us about where you're at, what's going on now, and your relationship to the network and your relationship to NAM.
Yeah, great to be on the podcast and to help planters kind of discover that call and help with the assessment process along with Aaron. So Akeem Smith and my wife and I and our team started a church called Storyline in Oakland, California. That's the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. So Josh, I was reached from Southern Hills Baptist Church when I was a teenager, 17 years old, walking into church and became a Christian, and kind of helped me in my discipleship process. And eventually, you know, fast forward 10 years and starting a church out here in the Bay Area.
Love it. We're excited about this conversation. And I want to jump right in because right now, Drew and I's hearts, we're thinking specifically about there's a guy that's 27 years old and he's a youth pastor in Montana. And he's thinking to himself, I don't know, man, maybe God's calling me to be a church planter. Like, what does that look like? How should I do that? Or maybe you're 40 years old and you're like, it's time to move on. And maybe God's calling me to be a planter. Maybe you're in college right now and you're in Bible college and you're like, or maybe just you're just in a secular university and you're like, man, God's calling me to church plant. What does that look like when it comes to partnering with an organization like North American Mission Board? All right. So what I love about this is not only do we have two longtime members of the network talking about this who have gone through the process, neither one work for NAM. This is not a commercial for one specific process. So we're going to talk about the things that were good about the process, the things they like least about the process, and whether or not our listeners should consider that process. So let's begin right there, Akeem. What did you like best about the process? And describe the process a little bit, because for some people, they're like, church planning, I thought a church gave you a pack of tracts and you go out and you start a church. Like, what's the process? What's the assessment process?
Yeah, the assessment process is, I would say, describe it as, Aaron, comprehensive. I think there's a lot of different processes out there for starting a church, whether it's with other organizations, and there's a bunch out there, right? But the one I like about NAM specifically is that it's comprehensive in the sense that there's an online pre-assessment, right? There's information you give about yourself, about your calling, about your leadership, about your vision, about your budget, all these different things that play into the online portion of the assessment. And once you submit that process, they'll get back to you within a specific time frame, and from there move forward with an in-person gathering, which is, it's about 2 days usually, and they assess you based upon the things that you said. So based upon what you said about yourself, they assess you in person to see if that's true or not, right?
And who are they? Are they like cloaked in black robes? I can picture like there's a room, it's dark, and they are assessed. Who are these they?
It's Moses, Elijah, Peter.
Oh, they come back. You know, okay, good.
Big Mo, you know what I mean? No. So
it's crazy to have access to them, man. I've been trying for years.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
No, it's a field experts. So people that would be considered experts in their field of vision, of leadership, of church planting. And it's, again, it's comprehensive, but it's also contextualized. So those specific expert leaders assess you and your spouse on those specific attributes and competencies that you mentioned in that online platform. And so, that's the big benefit. It's very comprehensive.
Okay, so you would say that's one of the things that you like best about it. And in the midst of it, you describe the process itself. Aaron, what would you add as more description of the process, and what did you like best about the process?
Well, one of the things that I liked best about the process is that you go in there and you have people who know the territory and they know the ministry, and they're looking at you saying, how well are you going to fit here? And then they're going to make their recommendations, which was extremely helpful for us when we went through the process to get those recommendations. We actually got some recommendations we didn't really care for. When we went through, I'll be honest, totally vulnerable here. I don't care what, you know, when I went through it, I expected they're going to look at this guy, this young pastor, and they're going to be like, wow, how have we missed this guy? I thought we were going to go in there. We're going to get a green light. They're going to be like, you are the second coming of the Apostle Paul. God bless you. How much money can we give you? That's what I expected. And what I got was what at the time was considered a yellow light. And they said, hold the phone, dude. And so I still remember the conversation, and we do things a little differently now, but they sat us down and they said, all right, so you want to plant your church downtown Seattle. And I said, that's right. You know, I was just, man, we were riding into Seattle on a white horse. Right. And, they said, well, we were willing to recommend you as a church planter, but not to Seattle. And I took the wind out of my sails and I pushed back a little bit and I said, okay, what, why? I mean, God's calling me, right? You know, why are you saying this? And they said, we're not telling you God's not calling you to plant downtown Seattle. We're telling you that God's not calling us to partner with you if you do.
And
so
great.
They said, look, up to this point, most of your ministry experience has been in highly conservative environments and you have small children. That means you're probably not a very good fit for downtown Seattle. We're not saying you can't plant a church. We're saying that the cost may be too high for you personally and your family. So they made a few recommendations of other areas we might want to consider. And, you know, in all humility, I had to go back and say, you know what, the reason we wanted this assessment is because we wanted experts in the field contextualized working with us. We want people who know the territory and know the process. And that's not me. And those people are telling me that they think we should look elsewhere. That's actually how we ended up in Tacoma, and took a lot of soul searching, a lot of prayer to say, you know, kind of refining of God's call. And I would say that in retrospect, looking back on what they said, they were speaking the truth. That was 100% accurate assessment of myself, my family, and we are exactly where we're supposed to be. And it's largely due to the assessment process we went through.
Yeah. See, that's the purpose of the assessment. It's to clarify and confirm the call of a planter and a couple in their team as well. So like that is the huge benefit. I think they say it like this, Aaron, that they partner with the calling, not the church, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So that's why I think they do recommend, hey, maybe you're not a good fit for this area, or it's not necessarily like, hey, you're gonna go to, if you're gonna plant a church in New York City, we're going to send you to Alabama. It's usually in the same region, from what I assume and have experienced in the past. But yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I mentioned that the process is refined a little bit now. So the way the assessment works is we're actually, and I speak as one on the assessment team, we are serving the sending church. In this case, the sending church sends the candidate. We assess the candidate on behalf of the sending church, and then all the recommendations are going to go back to the sending church and the planter. And so it is going to be contextualized, but that's the thing. We're not telling you what God's calling you to do. We are simply evaluating what you're telling us and then making recommendations in the relationship with the sending church. And I feel like that's a big piece that I love that NAM includes, because we are going to be local church based and local church oriented.
You know, Drew, a lot of our audience is not Southern Baptist, and those who are not Southern Baptist may be unaware kind of what the great benefit of assessment is with North American Mission Board. Sometimes if you're outside of that world, you think, yeah, I know what it is. I stand in line, I get a check, and they pay me to go plant a church. And the real value add, it's not about the money. That's what I'm getting from both Aaron and Akeem. It's not about the money. It's about the assessment. It's about experts in the field, those who know Jesus and know the area and then get to know you, and the counsel and advice and the ministry they give you to partner with you. The money is subsequent, it seems to me, to the advice and the actual assessment and the counsel of this board. Is that what you would say?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely subsequent. We'll get to that.
Okay, we'll get to that. So ominous, which probably does lead to our second question, and that is, what did you like best about the process? What did you like least about the process?
I think, Josh, what they could improve on the process with the assessment is adding a team aspect to it. I know the The point of the assessment is to assess the planter and his wife, if they've got the calling to confirm and to clarify that. But also, I think it'd be helpful to bring alongside maybe one or two team members and to make it more inclusive, not just for the planter, but for the team. In my research of getting ready to start a church, there's two reasons why churches fail from the startup, from the scratch. Is one, there's a lack of resource, and then lack of team. And I think if a team aspect could be built into the pipeline of the assessment process, from the online piece to the in-person assessment and then to the retreat, which is kind of the two-day orientation getaway, I think it'd be super helpful, one, for that planter, but also to hint for his team member that's kind of his number two going into on the ground, first on the ground, right, gets bloody. And so, like, if you're going through the process together as planters, because that's what it is, it's not just a team member, he is also planting with you. And then also to, you know, I think it's just a huge benefit in addition to adding the team aspect to it that we didn't see as much.
From my limited interaction with Send Network, I do know that there's this value of team planting, not individual, and not even just husband and wife, but plant as a team if you can. And I guess what you're saying is if you could bring that team element into the assessment, don't just tell us to have a team, bring it into the assessment, that could have a lot of benefit. Okay, Aaron, what do you think about what Akeem said? And do you have your other aspects that you personally said, you know what, this is what I liked least, this is what I like most, but my unvarnished opinion, this is what I like least about the process.
The team aspect is a huge one, and it does show up in the assessment because in the what we call the calling exercise, where the candidates will present, you know, they're basically communicating, this is why we think God's called us to do this. Frequently, the question is going to come up, okay, who else is joining you? And the reason we ask that question is if your calling or your articulation of your calling is not compelling enough for other people to want to join you, well, that's reason for us to pause. And I'm speaking us as the NAM assessment team. That's reason for us to pause and say, well, okay, why is this? Is this a question of articulation or is it a question of actual calling or competency? And they're going to dive into that. It's not necessarily a disqualifier, but it is something that we're going to dig into. And we may say to the sending church, you know what, before you really throw a lot of resources at this and they make the move, let them work in your church and see if there's other people that are drawn to this. So I'm saying that is, I'm hearing what Akeem's saying, and man, that would be wonderful. If you had a team and you could bring them to the assessment, that would be very powerful, be a very formative experience. And that would be good. But if you're asking me about things that I kind of wish the assessment could do, I'm not sure how we could do this, but it is something that shows up. We do assess core competencies. Unfortunately, it's only 2 days. And a very, very skilled pastor, you know, can talk his way past some things. Now, the assessment's set up in a way that honestly, I've seen it time and time and time and time again, you know, where you've got six assessors per candidate and five of them might have missed something, but the other one catches it. And when they get together to compare notes, the sixth one brings it up and the other ones are like, oh, you know what? Now that you mention that, oh, that reminds me of something that they said in our interview. And they'll start bringing something up. And this is not about finding ways to disqualify the candidate. This is about ways that we can help the candidate to say, hey, this is a ticking time bomb in your ministry, and we want to make sure it doesn't blow up in your face 2.5 years down the road. We think you can address this now, and here's some recommendations, and let's work with your sending pastor, your sending church. I just wish there was a way that we could see the heart. I know that's impossible, but I wish there was a way we could see the heart and say, is this a person who legitimately and truly walks with Jesus? Because we're just depending upon what the candidates tell us. And, you know, as pastors, I think we all know that, you know, we're amazing in our capacity for self-deception. And I don't think any of our candidates are trying to deceive anybody. Absolutely not. But let's just put it out there. If you're wanting to plant a church, you're invading enemy territory and he doesn't like it. Especially if you're going to one of our more unreached or darker cities, it's hard. It is spiritually difficult. There's a spiritual battlefield And you know what? I don't personally, I'd just rather know that you've got a vibrant, you know, just a vital prayer life. And you are in God's word and on your knees every day. To me, that's more important than your competencies. And I just, you know, and we do ask some questions about that, but you know, ultimately it's like, I wish, you know, I wish there was a halo or something over their head that we could be like, all right, this person just knows Jesus. And that's really what's going to matter in the end.
So it sounds kind of intimidating. I mean, if I'm listening to this and I'm like, well, you know what, maybe what I'll do is just call grandpa and have him give me $100 a month. And I'm just going to move to Seattle and go. Like, why should, if it is such a process, seems like a lot. I mean, even clicking on the website and starting to fill out the stuff, maybe I just go. Why would somebody go through this intimidating process? Is it still beneficial?
I think it's beneficial 100%. And I'd say if you're going to go plant a church, which is an incredibly difficult endeavor to start anything from scratch, and you're going to take your family, you're going to take a team, right? You're going to take your calling. Like, we just went through a pandemic as a church planner, right? Starting in 2019, September. Listen, all of my benchmarks and goals and competencies that I have, as far as like, man, this is the goal that I have in 6 months. This is the goal that I have in a year. This is the goal that I have in 2 year marker, 3 year celebration. I'm getting ready to celebrate 3 years. And if you're not seeing that come to pass, the only thing you have to lay back on is your calling. And the assessment is what helps clarify again and confirm that calling. And so, of course, you absolutely need to go through the assessment process and find some type of organization or network that can vet whether or not you have the character and competency to plant a church. Because even when, you know, it doesn't work out the way you want to, you can fall back on that calling. Aaron, I love what you said about the heart issue, and 2 days is not enough. Yeah, you can talk your way through 2 days skillfully to get some money and then walk away, right? I think one of the things that NAM, I'm not sure if this is the reason behind it, but a part of the process that they've implemented, I'm not sure if it was also part of your day, Aaron, I know it's been more so part of mine, is there's the in-person assessment after the online. There's the orientation that takes place, right? But then there's also a residency. And the residency is 1 to 2 year process that you sit with a church in your context, and they kind of watch you lead, right? Watch your character, watch your competency, and allow that to flesh out over the course of that year to year process before launching your church. And it also helps you build a team as well that's right there contextually localized. And so you're right, character rarely implodes suddenly. And so over the course of that 1 or 2 years, you can kind of discover, like, you can see that person's heart. Like, are they really fit to plant a church? Do they have the competency, but also do they have the character? Have they been praying? Have they been walking with Jesus? Is their family on the same page, or did he just coerce her, right, or into planting this church? And so I think that residency process does help reveal some of that as well. It doesn't foolproof, right? It's not a silver bullet, but it does help, I think, clarify as well that the heart issue on the planter.
Yeah, the residency, and I guess one of the things that we've seen up here in the Northwest is that the planters that do the residency tend to have a much greater chance of success. It's not necessarily, at least not the way we do it, it's not a requirement, but it may be an option. And what that really speaks to is embedding the church planter within a network of local planters. And to me, that's one of the biggest advantages of going through this process. And I could say a little bit more about this towards the end. I hope we get a chance. But when you go through that assessment, you're making relationships. Every assessor that I've talked to, that we recruit for these assessments and that come out of it, they form bonds with the candidates. They shed tears when listening to the candidate's story, and they are personally invested. So that after the investment's over, the assessment's over, these assessors are still attached, which means that the church planter has friends and mentors and coaches. Now, one of the things that follows out of that assessment is that you are going to be put into a training program. You're going to be put into a training cohort where you're going to go through a series of training with other planters in your area. And then you're going to be released to our coaching network. And the coaching network is going to be you know, again, local guys who are helping you discern what God is doing in your life and what God is doing in your ministry context. The thing is, though, you've got to make these things work. All right. I mean, NAM's got this beautiful plan laid out, but if the planner doesn't take advantage of the assets, it's not going to work for them. And again, I would say that there is definitely a correlation between the success of church planters and their willingness to work within NAM's plan. The money, that's great. It doesn't cover everything, but it is helpful. Okay. But more than the money is the network, is the training, is the cohort, is the relationships, is the coaching. And I'll just say this. I mean, I don't want to, you know, compare myself to guys who've gone through boot camp or any of the special operator training, but you know, when I look at documentaries on stuff like that, there is a brotherhood that is formed through those types of experiences. And I'm sitting here 6 years post-launch, 7 years, almost 8 years post-assessment, and I am still in close contact with brother pastor, brother planters here in the Northwest. We went through assessment together. We went through training together. We've got a bond. And we love hanging out together. We love seeing each other. And it is such a blessing, especially going through a pandemic, to know I'm not alone. I've got a brother just up the road here. And, you know, we're not competing with each other. We're both suffering together. We're both struggling together. And we can both strengthen each other. It's great.
Now, I have a comment and a question for both of you. I love the emphasis you guys place on testing the candidate. I think maybe some prerequisites or preconceived ideas going into the process is there's a bunch of monks in a room that are stoic and want to shoot me down for my calling, right? Like, from what you guys are telling us, is that NAM's goal is to try to get as many church planters out in the field as possible to reach the kingdom and to spread the gospel, right? So knowing that intent is they have your best intent at heart while trying to validate the calling through a series of questions in this assessment, right? So that's maybe the first thing is that, hey, like, they're for you. Yes, they might ask you some tough questions to lead you down a different path, to your point, Aaron, going to Tacoma instead of downtown Seattle, but their goal is to get you there. But the second, I guess the question is, like, you brought it up a little bit and just being fully transparent, like, does NAM cover the cost of everything? So that's the question.
No, they don't. In fact, they don't even cover the cost to get you to the assessment. And there's a reason behind that, apart from just budgetary concerns. And that is this: if your sending church isn't willing to cover the cost of a plane ticket and a hotel room, are they really going to support your church plant? You know, and that's, yeah.
It's a great question because it is something that I come across from my denominational background that people assume, oh, if you go through this NAM assessment process with the Southern Baptist Convention, that then you just, they pay for your church. They buy you a building, they set you up, they pay your salary for a couple of years. You're both laughing. I guess that's not the case. They provide funds. Well, where do you get the rest of the funds?
Mom and Dad, trust
fund. From your trust fund. Okay. So if you don't have a trust fund, don't be a church planner. Is that what? Where does it come from?
No, yeah, it's a good question. I remember, so when I went through the assessment process, you know, which was helpful because one thing is that they said, hey, you have a budget of X amount, you're going to the most expensive region in the country, you need to raise that to 1.2 million, right? And I was like, oh, that's eye-opening for me to see that, right? Which is, that's part of the process why it's so helpful. But I remember talking to several of my buddies that have started churches, not with NAM, but are interested in starting churches with NAM. And they said, man, are you, like, it must be nice to, like, have NAM support you and take care of your church plant. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, don't they pay for everything? I said, NAM is 3% of our budget. And he said, he was, his eyes, like, I was like, yeah, as a planter, they support you financially, but they don't fully fund your startup and your family. That's up to you to do the legwork to build relationships and network and raise money on your own. If you can't raise money as a planter, you can't start a church, in my opinion.
And that, by the way, is, I think, going to be a surprising thing to a lot of people in our audience. They just didn't know that. And so it's fascinating to hear that even those who may go through NAM or the Send Network still need financial support from some of the elder pastors in the audience, some of the members of the Idea Network that say, oh, but I thought they were with Send. I need to support somebody that's not with Send. The answer is, well, actually, yeah, support both, because they're both fundraising. One is going through an assessment process that might provide 3 to 10% of their church planning funds, but they're still fundraising. Real last, before we go, guys, when we talk about Send and NAM, what should be considered by the listener who may be considering this avenue toward their calling? Somebody sitting there thinking, you know, I really might do this. I'm going to plant. I really feel like God. What's one thing you would say in 60 seconds that they should consider about this process? Akeem?
I would say NAM, when partnering with them, this is just a part of the process. It's not your calling. It's not you. But they have what they call Send Cities. So if you're a planter and you or a potential planter and you want to plant in, I don't know, Kansas, right? And you feel a call to that, that's great. But NAM has what they call Send Cities, S-E-N-D. That is cities that are populated specifically with unchurched people. And they want to get the gospel out to those regions and to those states and cities as quickly as possible. And it may be that your process might be affected with NAM if you consider planting with them, because you're going to go to an area that's not as heavily unchurched.
So interesting. So if they get in contact with a local Send representative or even go to the website, they can see the Send Cities and see these really unreached people groups in the United States. That's a great thing to consider.
Yeah.
Aaron, what would you say? What's the one thing you would say, hey, you need to consider this?
Yeah, I got to give you two. The first one is this. As a church planter, this is probably your first rodeo, but it's not theirs. And that's what you want. You want a group of people who have been through this more times than you can even imagine to walk you through this. And I don't know why anybody would ever want to turn that opportunity down. The second thing that I would say is this. If you intend to plant a church that's going to be around 5 years from now instead of just 3 years from now, then plan on getting involved with the other Baptist networks in your area. It is Southern Baptist, but NAM is a national organization, okay? You have a state convention to be part of, and you'll also have a local association to be part of. They also have resources. NAM will help you get started, but those are the guys who are in it with you in the long run. And once again, there's a correlation. Planters who just want the money and want to cut themselves off from all association don't tend to do very well. But planters who say, I'm here because I want this team and I want a brotherhood and I want to be part of the body of Christ in this region, there's a lot of strength there, not just from NAM, but also those state conventions and local associations. And my recommendation is plan to get involved with all of them.
Love it. I love that advice. It's something that I've been saying for the last couple of years for us, even at Southern Hills, that we are multi-affiliated. We want to have partnerships with as many networks as possible, not just one. I love the Idea Network for what it can do, but it doesn't do everything. I love NAM for what it can do, but it doesn't do everything. And what I love NBC, Nevada Baptist Convention, for what it can do, but it doesn't do everything. And it's amazing to us, the more people we link up with, the more opportunity we have together to do more. And so that's a great final word. Thank you guys for joining us as we talk about considering NAM, the assessment process for church planting. We appreciate you guys being part.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.